Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right.
We have never seen anything like this in our history. At this level. President of the United States, Donald Trump. Never. We've not seen anything like this. And people are always, here's the thing about Donald Trump. They're trying to pigeonhole him into what he is. I'll tell you what he is. He's Barnum. He's P.T. Barnum. It's the best way to describe that guy. He's P.T. Barnum. He is a showman of showmen. Have you noticed, like, when I follow politics since I was a young kid, I have never seen anything like this, the way that this entire situation, not only with him winning, but the way that he's going about naming his cabinet members, that it is, it's almost like it's like a draft. Like, this is the NFL draft. It's Friday night. People are going crazy. Everybody's drinking and hollering. Who's your team going to pick? It's like that. He is a showman. And some of it he does strictly for show. Some of it he does because he bobs, he weaves, he zigs, he zags. He doesn't really want you to know where he's going. Rudy Giuliani today, according to reports, he was told he wasn't going to be it. According to other reports, he was told, he told them he wasn't going to be Secretary of State and he didn't want the job and he doesn't want anything in the cabinet. He's just a friend. And it's very interesting. I don't buy that. I have to be honest. I don't buy that, Rudy. I think if the president asks you a question, would you be willing to do this for your country? You say yes. Right? Like, if Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, came to me today and said, would you be my, you know, would you be my whatever? Would you run the Economic Council? Yeah. Why? Because you're the president and you've asked me to do it. And I respect the office as much. That's why. Right? I respect the office that much. Would you be my press secretary? Yes. Yes, I'll do it. Even if I didn't want the job, because I respect the office that much that I would do it. Plus, it looks great on a resume, right? What'd you do last? Well, I was a press secretary for the United States of America, President Donald Trump. Remember him? Know him? Yeah, that was him. That's what I did. What'd you do last? I worked at Wendy's. All right, then. Not a bad job. Fantastic. Great. Did you get 15? I got more than 15. Chad, you're a jerk. What I'm telling you is this guy is P.T. Barnum. Is it going to be Mitt Romney? People are waiting. Who's going to be the Secretary of State? This is probably the biggest thing he's going to anoint, right? This is the big. Who was his vice president? That was big, but that was strategery right there. This is going to be his biggest appointment, sans a judge nominee. But even then, I still think this may be the biggest appointment he's going to make. And he's dragging it out. He's going rock star with it. He's making you wait a little bit longer. Concert's supposed to start at 7:15. It's 9:25 and nowhere for him to be found. Oh, crowd's getting anxious. We want Secretary of State. We want Secretary of State. Right? Because you've already had the opening act, right? You've already had the HUD secretary. You've already had, they've already done their stuff. You had the comedian you didn't like, but whatever. Right? Now we want the Secretary of State. Who is it going to be? He's P.T. Barnum. He's dragging this thing out. He can drag it out. He may, and when he drops it, whenever that's going to be, could be Sunday night. Could be 2 hours from now. But knowing Trump, he'll drag it on as long as he has. He's going to sandbag the limelight. Because he's not only a businessman, he's an entertainer. He's not even going to give up his executive producer title on The Apprentice. Because why? And is there a conflict of interest? Because you're executive producer, you're also president of the United States, but NBC also happens to be a news business. And can they criticize you? Can they not? I mean, all of these, it all plays into this. He is something we've never seen. He's Barnum. He's P.T. Barnum. who is always looking for the next gimmick, always looking for the next way to get a buck out of you, get something out of you. This is what he does. And we have never seen anything like that. And I think it's amazing. I absolutely love it. It makes me laugh. He's not taking all of he's not going in and getting these intelligence briefings like he should. But you know what he is doing? He's conversing every day with the president. And apparently there seems to be something here where he and the president have, I want to say they're pals. But what I say is I think that he's got a lot more respect for President Obama than he once did. And at the same time, I think President Obama is starting to get why and who this guy is. And they're apparently they've been quite chummy on the phone. And that's good. That's good. Again, peaceful transition. But he's going to drag this thing. Who's it going to be? Today, now we're hearing, you won't know who this guy is. I'm going to say his name. You have no idea who this is. Rex R. Tillerson. No idea who he is. Zero. If you look at him, he looks like a European soccer manager that just lost some Italian soccer game. Right? Kind of what he looks like. Maybe looks like one of those, he looks like that actor, but you don't know what he's been in, but you know you've seen 1,000 times, but you don't know, and you try to explain to your friends, but you can't really get it right, because you don't know, right? That's who he looks like. He's the CEO and president of Exxon. He apparently, according to sources close to the Trumpster, P.T. Trump, that should he be, Barnum Trump. Apparently, this guy is now the front runner for Secretary of State. But you got Mitt Romney over here, dangling Mitt still. Ooh, Mitt's a huge pal now of the Donald. And here's the thing with Donald. If Mitt doesn't give it to, if Mitt doesn't become Secretary of State, isn't offered that, is that revenge? I bring you in. I dangle it in front of you. I tease you with it. I torture you with it. I give you the opportunity to have it just about. Then I take it away and give it to somebody else. Because the entire time the election was going on, you thrashed me. Don't put it past them. Rich people have long memories, especially rich men. This is what I found that I just found to be so interesting is the fact that he drags this stuff on. And we've never seen that. He is making politics a reality show, which we've already made life a reality show, so why not make politics a reality show? But he's doing it in such a way, in such a manner, that all of us kind of raise our eyebrows. And he dangles it out there, and you know what we want? We all want more. We all want more. We do. Just a little bit more. What are you going to do? Oh, you want some more baby birds? You want some more? You guys want some more of this? Oh. I think it's great. I absolutely think it's fantastic. If that's what gets people interested in stuff, you know what? You know, when I was a kid, I hated reading. The stuff that the stuff to tell you got to read this. But what really got me into reading and stuff, it's like, you know what? My teachers say, if he wants to read sports and he wants to read the news, then that's what he does. He can write me a, you know what? If he doesn't like reading this book, but he likes to devour news like this and stuff, then he can write reports on that. If that's what gets you interested in politics, and instead of just taking the bite of the small piece of pizza that's out there, as far as, you know, how much politics is a part of your life, maybe you take that whole little slice. There you go then. Nothing wrong with it. But I absolutely think it's hilarious that he's doing these kind of things. P.T. Barnum, welcome to the White House. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON, chad@chadbensonshow.com. We got some movies coming out. We're going to have Blake Stubbs back in here in a little bit, talk about a few of the movies, and we're going to break down movies that are Christmas-based, but they're anything but Christmas-y. I think it's going to be hilarious to talk about some of these movies. Some of these movies I find hilarious. But every day at this hour, we do this. It's called What's Next. Gentleman was put to, and I use the word gentleman loosely, to death in, I think it was Alabama. Alabama! What's next for the death penalty? Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
You know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next? We do it every single day at this hour, at this time. It's called What's Next? Talk about things in life and find out what's next for those things. Death penalty. A man was executed yesterday in Alabama. Alabama. Second execution this year in Alabama. His name was Ronald Burt Smith Jr. Man, if you're born with that name, you should just pretty much know you're ending up in prison. Right? That should be where you're going. What do you think they called him? Ronnie. He was put to death for the 1994 slaying of a Huntsville convenience store clerk. The execution was the second in the state and 14th since 2010. Wow, they got a little revolving door there. He was put to death by lethal injection. He spent 21 years on death row for the murder of the clerk, Casey Wilson, before his execution. 21 years. The execution last night lasted 13 minutes. Smith appeared to struggle for breath. He heaved. He coughed. His arm moved. After being administered the three drug combination used for lethal injections, two conscious checks were performed to make sure Smith was not in any pain. So what's next for the death penalty? I think it's time for the death penalty to be revisited. In certain circumstances, I just, first of all, it's not a deterrent, right? Look, if you were convicted, we took you out back and shot you, maybe. But nowadays, you're going to spend a lot of time at a huge cost to the taxpayers, and it's not a deterrent. And I think what we're going to see, what's next for the death penalty, is I think certain states are going to be challenging it and trying to get rid of it. And they're doing it. California, by the way, a state here where, and I voted against it because I think the death penalty is a giant waste of taxpayer dollars. Now you're finding criminals who know the system so well and know they are never going to be put to death, who are totally fine with getting the death penalty because they know they're going to be in a secured area where they don't have to worry about other inmates hurting them or killing them or doing horrible things to them. And they get certain privileges that the other ones don't. 90,000 dollars a year for one person. 90,000 dollars a year. Think about that. For one person. The insanity. This guy cost $2 million. That doesn't count. That does not count the legal side of what the cost was. And was there a deterrent for old Ronnie? Probably not. So what's next for the death penalty? I think it's one of those things where states are going to revisit it under only certain circumstances. Will you see death penalty? And I'm fine. Anything you do to a child, anything. Anything at all that you do to a child, I have zero problems with you being, I guillotine him at this point in time. And by the way, if we want to talk about humane, right? If we really want to talk about humane, why not use the guillotine? Well, it's disgusting. Well, you're just going to probably burn the body anyway. It's going to be ashes. So why not? Well, Chad, that's gross and disgusting. You know what? You want to make it, if you're really serious about this, and this is the sickness of our nation, and I am one to raise my hand probably, if you're really serious about it, make it public. Earn some money back on it. Pay-per-view. You don't think that somebody would spend $99.99 to watch somebody put to death? You're fooling yourself. We are a sick and twisted nation. We watch train wrecks. We watch car crashes. We watch plane wrecks. We rubberneck everywhere. We go online and see people getting their asses handed to them. We watch people being shot. And people Facebook live it. You don't think that they wouldn't do this? Hell yeah, they would. At least make some money back on it. And I think they should give the prisoner the opportunity of four or five things that he wants done. Hell, one of them may be being eaten by a shark. I don't care. Make it entertaining. But what's next for this is it's an antiquated system that costs a lot of money, and it doesn't really deter anything. It doesn't. Nobody is out there tonight thinking to themselves, Jimmy was going to go kill somebody, but he thought it over and knew he may get the chair. So he decided against it. No, it's not the way it works. It's not a deterrent. And the cost is too great. Look, we're at the point now with the medical technology and all the stuff that we have, that with DNA testing and this, that, and the other, the chances of us making the grave, horrible mistake that has happened in the past is probably slim to none. But the cost of housing and the cost of the legal fights and the cost of making sure that all of this stuff, and again, when you think legal fights, it's not just him or her and the fight to not be executed. It's also the legal fights in all of these states of cruel and unusual punishment that go. All that cost is a waste. And it's zero deterrent. What's next for the death penalty is the usual stuff. Bitching, whining, and moaning, and costing lots of money for taxpayers. We're really not settling anything, and sure in the hell, not stopping anybody from actually committing the crime. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's Christmas! We got a set of Christmas movies that aren't your normal Christmas movies. Blake Stubbs is going to join us. Plus, we'll talk about the movies that are coming out this weekend right here on The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Talk movies all the time. Three movies coming out this week. None of them, I think, are going to dazzle. La La Land, a lot of people think it's going to be this amazing movie that is going to sweep the Academy Awards. I'm not quite sure about that. And, you know, when everybody tells me I need to see something that's going to be incredible, it stars Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. Miss Sloan, the uncompromising and formidable lobbyist. Jessica Chastain takes on the gun lobby and crazy stuff starts to happen. And Office Christmas Party. If you want something inane, stupid, and 90 minutes of hilarity, Office Christmas Party is it. It stars T.J. Miller, who's in trouble today because apparently he slapped somebody at a road rage incident or something like that, allegedly he's hilarious. Courtney B. Vance is in it, Jason Bateman, as well as Olivia Munn and Jennifer Aniston. So that looks funny. That is just pure funny. That's what that is. But I step away from funny because it is Christmas time, and Blake Stubbs has joined me. And we started this debate a couple weeks ago, Blake, about one of these movies and whether or not it's a Christmas movie or an action movie. And we'll get to that one in the middle. But you and I, we love these. We love movies that are interesting and can be artsy, but we also like movies that are just like, did you see this? Boom. And this is one of those segments where you like, did you see this?
This is the water cooler conversation. These are the movies you watch, and then you go into work the next day, and you tell people, you know what, I saw this kooky movie on Netflix last night, or I saw this thing, this trailer, this movie looked really goofy and out there. You're not talking about it to get art cred amongst your coworkers and friends. You're talking about these movies because they're fun, they're crazy, and they might be over the top.
And that's what we want. And they are both Christmassy and ultra-violent. And we're going to count down some of the biggest Christmas ultraviolet movies of all time. Last year, there was a hit that came out. There was a Christmas movie that was ultraviolet and scary. and it was called Krampus. Take a listen to some of this.
St. Nicholas is not coming this year. Instead, a much darker ancient spirit.
Those are hooves. Elk or a goat?
What kind of goat walks on its hind legs?
His name is Krampus. He and his helpers did not come to give, but...
All right, so Krampus is... It's the folklore we talked about earlier this week. It's actually scared Anthony. Anthony's having dreams about Krampus. Did you see Krampus?
I did. I saw Krampus like very early when it first released. Because first time I saw the trailer, I thought, you know, Adam Scott is in this. David Koechner's in this. There's a whole lot of talent, you know, based on just the trailer alone that kind of hooked me. But then, of course, like Krampus is just one of those goofy stories that you've always heard. And it is. It's meant to be scary. It's meant to sort of instill fear in children so that, you know, they're not naughty, because it's about this demon character that'll show up and dispatch with the naughty. And the fact they've got all these great comedians involved, I mean, it is sort of a horror comedy thriller. It's got a whole thing, and it's all about sort of a family, you know, and that there's a bit of dysfunction amongst the family. So it's easily relatable to a lot
especially at Christmas.
Especially at Christmas.
It's violent, and it's crazy, and Krampus is bad, and it is a Christmas movie, yet a horror kind of film. We move from there to another movie where they've taken a beloved creature that we loved as kids, somebody like a Frosty the Snowman, and they've turned him into a maniacal killer. It's Jack Frost. Take a listen.
One cold night, science and evil collide. Oh, yeah. Now, a serial killer is on the loose.
We hadn't even tested the acid on an amoeba, let alone a human cell. This is a disaster.
Look, I just saw something that doesn't belong in this world, and it's out there killing my friends. Now tell me what it is.
Absolutely horrible. A wisecracking, obnoxious snowman. Could you imagine if Frosty was a serial killer?
It doesn't ring a bell. I can't make that work. Now, here's the funny thing. So this movie came out in 1997. In 1998, another movie named Jack Frost came out, starring Michael Keaton. And it was sort of a tragic yet heartwarming holiday tale about a dad who can't keep his promises, who loses his life in a car accident, but comes back as a snowman. And at first scares his kid because he's a moving, walking, talking snowman. But then transitions into being this whole like heartwarming thing where the kid can communicate with his dad once a year again. Now, how does that work in Hollywood where two properties are released around the same thing? Man turns into snowman. One goes off into this weird tangent of being a serial killer film. And then a year later, we're going to do this like tragic yet heartwarming, you know, family film.
Michael Keaton that's not one he wants to put on his IMBD. That's one nowadays. If we were to redo that, that is one that Nicolas Cage would run at with all the gusto and vigor that his bad acting can bring us.
No, he probably already made it, and it's just sitting in a vault somewhere, and we're going to get treated to that one day.
Talking to Blake Stubbs, our movie guys, we go over the most violent Christmas movies of all time, because we like that stuff. It makes me laugh. Now, this movie, this is where you and I started to have this debate. Is it a Christmas movie? Is it an action movie? Take a listen, ladies and gentlemen, to Die Hard.
It's Christmas Eve in L.A.
California.
Is Daddy coming home?
Well, we'll see what Santa and Mommy can do, okay?
A New York cop, John McLean, has come to see his wife. Instead, he's going to have to save her.
Sit down.
You really think you have a chance against our sadistic cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
I loved it. It's a Christmas movie, it's an action movie.
It is a classic. It has to be watched every year around Christmas. The debate always arises around this time of year. Is this a Christmas movie? Now, first of all, yes, it is an action movie. Directed by John McTiernan, I would expect nothing less. Bruce Willis, you know, kicking off the height of his movie superstardom in this film. The other thing is you have Alan Rickman giving a great performance as the lead villain in Hans Gruber. However, I will say this. The whole movie, the impetus for the whole film, is a New York cop flying out to L.A. to spend Christmas with his estranged wife and his two kids. The whole movie is about getting home to spend Christmas with your family.
There you go. I think it's settled. Blake Stubbs has settled it.
Every single Christmas movie starts out that way.
That's it.
Just all have different routes of how they
get
there.
You've got Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You've got Home Alone. You've got everything is this, I'll be home for Christmas. This is what it's about. The difference is you've got terrorists who are trying to hijack stuff. It's amazing. I think it's a Christmas movie as well. Speaking of Home Alone, they put this on there as one of the most violent movies, and it doesn't sound like it. But in many ways, it is extremely violent in a very slapstick way. Here is Macaulay Culkin and Home Alone.
When the McAllister family left on their Christmas vacation...
Did we miss the flight? No, you just made it.
Yeah!
They forgot one small thing.
Kevin!
Home Alone.
Police in the northern suburbs are on the lookout for a pair of burglars who are calling themselves the Wet Bandits.
We know that you're in there.
It's Santa Claus. And it's Elf.
Get off my property.
This is my house. I have to defend it.
I loved it. I thought it was great as a kid. I can still watch it now, and I think poor Macaulay Culkin.
Poor Macaulay Culkin, man. You know, I don't know that any kid could have been ready for the superstardom that, you know, he was escalated to immediately after the release of this film. It made so much money. And the third act of it is incredibly violent. I mean, if you sit there with a little notepad and you write down every little violent act that occurs that this kid set with his booby traps, I mean, keep in mind, he shoots a guy in the face with a BB gun. He sets a dude's head on fire. It's actually two different guys in that case. Puts a nail through one's foot. I mean, all the crazy things that happen.
It's great. I love it.
I mean, it's hilarious. But like you said, slapstick.
Slapstick.
It gets a little bit too violent for some people.
Especially for kids. I think, you know what? You sit there and you think, the things that he does to these guys, absolute. That's an assault, but I love it. Fantastic. Talking to Blake Stubbs, we talk movies. We'll skip a couple of these, Peter, but let's get to the last two that I want to talk about. This was ranked number one on this list. Is it a Christmas movie? Is it a horror movie? It's definitely got some crazy violence, and it is Gremlins.
Billy Pelser has a nice home.
Billy, is that you?
Yeah, Mom, it's me.
A nice job. A nice girl. And loving parents who were about to give him...
You're going to like this. No, don't shake it. We're going to have to open it now. We'll wait till Christmas.
The most unusual gift he ever got.
What is it?
No.
It's your new pet.
Come on, Barney, be a good dog. My dad gave it to me.
But there are a few things to keep in mind. If you expose it to the light, you may hurt it. If you get it wet, it will multiply.
All that from water? They got wet?
Yeah, plain water.
And most important, no matter how much they beg, never, never let them eat after midnight. Because when they do, they change.
I love
Steven
that.
Steven Spielberg presents...
I loved it. It was a great movie. I saw it in the movie theaters. It was awesome. And it was at the time, you look at it now and it's hokey and it's cheesy because of what we have now with CGI. Hilarious, funny, scary, and it's Christmassy.
It is. And it's directed by Joe Dante, who's one of the best directors of the 80s. I mean, this guy made Gremlins, Explorers, The Burbs with Tom Hanks, which is one of the most underrated Tom Hanks movies, in my opinion, as far as his performances go. But the thing with Gremlins is with all the animatronics, with the cuteness of Gizmo the Mogwai, you can't pass that up. And yes, though, it is a very ultra-violent movie. Once these things go evil, they go really evil.
That's great. And finally, two that we thought should be on here. You like Santa's Sleigh.
Santa's Sleigh is an incredibly violent Christmas movie starring Bill Goldberg of pro wrestling fame. How can you miss something like that?
I you know what? It's again, I've seen all of these. And the other one that I watched last year, I was home for a couple days sick, and they made me go home, and I was bored. And I watched this movie last year, and I sent Anthony, I said, dude, this is the movie I watched. Okay, this is Krampus times 10. It is awesome. Elves are insane, and they're zombified. You've got deranged reindeer. You have Krampus. You have, it is amazing. It is called A Christmas Horror Story. Take a listen. Did I sound good?
Christmas, the most magical time of year.
It's the elves. I fear they may all become infected. How did it all come to this?
The atmosphere here in Billy Downs is truly grim this holiday season.
Oh, that's just awesome. It is Krampus fights Santa Claus, who has to fight elves. It's violent. It is hilarious. It is one of those movies where If you like horror movies with a touch of Christmas, you're going to like it. If you like Christmas with a touch of horror, you're going to like it. But it is 90 minutes of hilarity. It's called A Christmas Horror Story. And those are some of the movies that are both Christmassy and violent. So enjoy those for your listening pleasure. As always, Blake, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Next, where do you hear this? And I'm going to translate for him, too. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
I mean, this guy's a total whack job.
I'm sitting here looking. Uber's got new set of rules. Some of these rules are for the customers as well. No physical contact in the car, period, case closed. So if you're with your loved one, you apparently can't get handsy with them. I don't know about that. I find that be a bit weird. Right, so no taxi cab confession, if you've ever watched that show on HBO, where they have a camera in there and people confess their deepest, darkest secrets and or have sex in the car. And apparently that's okay with the people on HBO. But there's also no flirting in the car, which I find weird. Like, again, you can't damage drivers or other passengers' property, including throwing up in the car after having too much booze, which, look, I understand that, but the whole reason I'm calling an Uber is because I'm three sheets to the wind. So what do you do? Our buddy Charlie has had a couple incidents where people have, evacuated their bowels and their stomach inside of the car. So you got to have it. In Charlie's case, he's got bags and the whole nine yards. But still, I mean, it's, you know, you're asking somebody who's hammered to make a smart decision. I think that right there is that's on you. Right? Just covered in plastic. Abusive language or gestures will not be allowed either. If you do any of that, boom, you're kicked out. You got to take a cast. I don't care what anybody says. You know what? You shouldn't be allowed to abuse any of these people. I don't care if it's somebody who works at a fast food restaurant or something like we all get frustrated and stuff. I don't think I could do that. I would lose it. If somebody went apoplectic on me, I'm going to go violently apoplectic on them if I'm driving around, right? If they're screaming and yelling and telling me to F this and F that, you did the wrong thing here, and they flip me off and I'm driving the car, we're going to have words. I'm probably going to lose my Uber. They're going to take the U away from me. Yeah. And it may be free speech to flip me off, but I got free speech too. So we're going to free speech up right now because I'm pulling over and we're doing this. Chad, you're a jerk. Now, can you? Because I know too, a lot of Uber drivers now have cameras in the car because they CYA themselves, which I think is good. But you just never know, right? Like, you're picking people up and they're hammered, right? They're crazy hammered. That to me is just, it's hilarious. You never know what's going to happen. That's the whole point of having that taxi cab confession. Nobody gets in there sober and says something fun. Did you hear I stole $50 million? Now they're going to go, you know what I did last night? I robbed a casino because people are stupid. Nobody does that. Now we're not going to have Uber car confessions. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show, love when you do, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can text me, because that's the love I have for you. 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.